Well, we're coming then to look this morning as we continue our little mini-series in the subject that we've set for the summer of the sacrifice of our Lord, and seeing that his crucifixion is a sacrifice that was required. We saw that first on our first occasion, necessary. We see it as a sacrifice provided. We find, don't we, that there was no other sacrifice that could be provided. We could never supply and provide a sacrifice to meet all the demands of a holy God, the demands of a just God, to meet the demands of his holy law. And so we see, don't we, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that sacrifice provided, and the wonder of that sacrifice, the completeness of it, its perfect nature, the power of that sacrifice, and how it had been planned and purposed right from the beginning of creation, and their point into that coming of the Lord Jesus. And so we come to rejoice in those things. And then we're coming this morning then to look at a sacrifice to be remembered. And of course it's evident, isn't it, to us, that as we have meditated on this subject of our Lord's sacrifice, of our Lord's crucifixion, and all that it involved, how it was that the Lord had purposed to bring about that miracle of salvation, to change those who were dead in their trespasses and sins, and to elevate them not only to be a people who were forgiven, but who could be at one with him, who could fellowship with him, who could be united with him in glory, members of his family, in his household. And these are amazing things we reminded, aren't we, when we look at our salvation and what the Lord purposed, that we are raised to be higher than angels. Angels haven't known this. They know the presence of God, but they've never known what it means to be saved by the Son of God dying for them. And the Lord has, in his amazing purposes, planned that we shall be elevated to a greater status than even angels. He didn't create us as animals who were unable to fall, who could understand what it means to be obedient to God. Yes, to fall, to sin, to have made that choice to rebel, but then to be brought to know the living God, to be washed clean, to be given his righteousness, and then to know that fellowship with him for eternity. So it's a glorious thing that's taken place. And as we've been reminding ourselves, these things were being pointed to. The scriptures pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus. All through the Old Testament, his purpose was to point to Christ, to point to the coming sacrifice. All the Old Testament sacrifices pointing to that one perfect sacrifice. The blood of bulls and of goats couldn't take away sins. And the people of Israel knew that because they had to keep coming again and again. But our Lord Jesus was once offered. There's that perfect, complete sacrifice dealt with our sins. And so such an incredible thing has taken place here. Both what took place and also the person who achieved it, that the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, should himself come and bring about this great work of salvation. Surely this is something to be remembered. How dishonouring it must be to forget such a thing. How it would show a complete lack of understanding, a complete lack of grasp of what the Lord has purposed, if we should treat it lightly and forget about it. So we remember, don't we, reminded ourselves, the Apostle Paul, so many times in the New Testament, spoke about, this was the great theme of his ministry, was to preach Christ and him crucified. Here was the great subject that he wanted people to hear about. And if anybody seeks to preach a message from the Bible that doesn't speak of Christ, and speak of Christ crucified for our sins, then it's an empty message. We can speak about people reforming their lives and trying to live better lives, and it's hopeless. They're helpless without knowing this sacrifice that we're remembering in this little series now. This is something to be remembered. And so as we come to the scriptures, it comes as no surprise to us that God himself has instituted these things to remind us, that we might be a people who would remember this sacrifice, that we would have memorials of these things. Because he knows our frailty. He knows how, as poor, frail human beings, we can so often neglect the things that are important and the things that are essential, and we can be distracted onto other issues and taken down other pathways that take us away from the focus of the Lord Jesus, who is to be there in the centre of our worship, centre of our lives, the centre of our thoughts. And so the Lord Jesus himself is to be there in the centre of these things, and God himself has instituted that we should remember the Lord Jesus, and especially this great sacrifice that's our meditation at this time. And so we can go all the way back to Exodus and see, of course, first of all, the Passover. And I want really to center most of our thoughts this morning on that verse that we read, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 27, where, remember, we mentioned there that they were to keep this ordinance throughout their generations, and if they were asked by their children, particularly, what does this mean? In verse 27 it says, "Then ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses." See, here was a memorial. Here was something that was instituted to be a remembrance, to be something that would cause the children of Israel to remember what God had done. Of course, it pointed to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And we shall come to the New Testament and see that when the Lord Jesus, there in that passage you read in Luke 22, when he came to his last Passover with his disciples before the night of his death, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me," the one who fulfilled this picture, this type, this shadow of this sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. So I want us then, first of all, as we consider that the Lord has given us memorials, instructed us to remember the children of Israel, to remember the Passover. The Lord Jesus says to remember his death. I want us then to consider under three simple headings that we're to remember the Lord's sacrifice, because in doing so, we preach Christ. We preach God's work. We proclaim the work of God by remembering his sacrifice. See, here in Exodus chapter 12, it was to be done as a memorial so that when they were asked by the children, the answer would come. This is why we've done it, because of what God has done. And so there was a teaching taking place. There was the older generation explaining to the younger what it was that they were about, what had taken place. And they were to teach them, weren't they, that here was God who had rescued them there in Egypt, and all the history of these things. And so there was a proclaiming of what God had done. See, it was God's Passover. And this is what he says there in verse 27. "You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover." And we're drawing attention to what God had done. Remember how in Egypt there was the Lord who had passed over the houses of the children of Israel, but then visited judgment upon all those houses where the blood wasn't sprinkled over the doorposts. They were to draw attention to God's work. They were to preach it. They were to proclaim it. Say, look what God has done. We come to the New Testament and Luke 12. What is it that we're told there? We're told that the Lord Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You see, we're to do these things that remind us of what it is that the Lord has done. We are, as the Apostle Paul said in that passage we read at the communion table, 1 Corinthians 12, and he says, "You do show the Lord's death till he come." You're showing the Lord's death by the very act of remembering it. And there's the institution of the supper. And there were the Old Testament ones with the meal set before them. They were proclaiming. They were preaching this great sacrifice that took place. You know, it's important for us to remember things, not just to keep them in our minds, but to see that it's displayed. See, there's one way in which we could remember. We could be said, supposing that the scripture simply said, "Remember the Lord's death." And we would, at times, we'd have it in our thoughts, wouldn't we? We'd remember it in our thoughts. But the Lord takes it a stage further, just as he did with the Old Testament saints. He said, there's to be something that you do. There was the Passover meal. The Lord Jesus, he said, "I want you to do this in remembrance of me." Because in doing so, we're not just remembering in our minds, but we're proclaiming, we're preaching, we're displaying, we're speaking of what God has done. And that's what invites the questions, isn't it? That's why we were saying earlier on to the children, it's good to ask questions. The Lord expected here the children to ask questions. It's good to, because it provokes the adults to think, well, why are we doing this? What does the scripture say? What is it all about? And so it is that we're to be those who are determined then, as we remember this great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, to note that it's something not to be kept merely in our minds, but to be preached, to be proclaimed, to be set before the people. It's not that the Lord's table itself and the emblems do anything. We don't want people to think that they have to come to the table to be saved, or that somehow brings about some process of the work of the Spirit in their lives. If the table is nothing, they're emblems, they're pictures, they point to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And so it's a reminder, isn't it, to us that this great central theme of our Lord's crucifixion, we're to preach it. It should be the centre of our worship, the centre of our opening up of the Word of God, centre of our preaching of the gospel message. There must be there at the heart Christ and Him crucified. As the Apostle Paul said, he determined to know nothing among them save Christ and Him crucified. This is the message that is to be proclaimed, and we need to do these things then, to speak of these things. But it's also something that brings glory to God. It's something that brings all the praise to His name. You see, we are to be a people who always seek that our Lord should be praised and glorified. If we want to remember this great sacrifice, why do we want to remember it? Just because it's something that's meaningful to us, what it is, and if we're the Lord's people, it's something we treasure. But we're proclaiming it, we're preaching it, we're declaring it, because we want the Lord to get all the glory and all the praise. All the praise is to go to His name. And you notice in both these instances, both of the Old Testament Passover, he said, you're to say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. It's what God did in Egypt, not what the Israelites did, what God did. We come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. The Apostle Paul says, you do this to show the Lord's death. It's what the Lord accomplished. So we're preaching Christ, but we're doing it, aren't we, to draw attention to Christ, to bring glory to His name, to praise to His name, because in this great sacrifice, the Lord has done so much that should be worthy of our praise and our adoration. We've been reminding ourselves in this little series that we could never have saved ourselves, and the blood of bulls and goats and sacrifices could certainly never saved us. But when the Lord Jesus Himself has come into this world and offered Himself a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice, then all the glory and all the praise must go to Him for this plan of redemption that God had purposed before the world began, and then in the fullness of time sends His Son to come to this world to live as a real human being, God and man in one person. These are things that should cause us to say, oh, all the praise and the glory should go to God. We haven't deserved this. We haven't earned it. We haven't added to it. There's nothing that we can do to add to our salvation. There's nothing we can do to complement the work of Christ. It is all His work. It was the Lord's Passover. It was the Lord's death that accomplished these things on the cross at Calvary. And so with the remembrance of these things, and our desire to remember them, and the institution of the Lord's Supper as we come to that table, they are visible preaching of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may praise His name, that we may give the glory to Him, that we may take nothing to ourselves. All the glory should indeed go to our Lord and Saviour. So there's the first thing. Our Lord's sacrifice is to be remembered then, for it displays His work, it preaches Christ, it gives glory and praise and honour to His name. But secondly, we're to remember this sacrifice because of what He achieved for us, the deliverance that was achieved. We see that again there in Exodus 12 with the Passover. Notice what it was that they were to say then, weren't they? It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, there in verse 27. What was it that took place? Who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when He smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. There was a great deliverance that took place that they were to remember. So every time they sat down at the Passover meal and the children said, what do all these things mean here? They would speak about, yes, it was the Lord's Passover, it's what happened there, but it was a deliverance. We come to the Lord's table and we see, don't we, the bread, and the Lord said, this is my body broken for you. For you. This is my blood shed for you. He's done something for us. What has He done? He's delivered us. There He is dealing with our sins. His blood is shed. It's that remission of sins. The washing away of our sins. There's the taking of the penalty upon Himself. And so when we come to see, as we remember the sacrifice, there is a deliverance. And there are two aspects of the deliverance. One is the deliverance from the judgment of God. The Israelites could remember that, couldn't they? Notice what he says there, verse 27. The Lord passed over their houses, but visited judgment upon the houses of the people of Egypt. In every single house, the firstborn died. There was a judgment that fell upon those who did not avail themselves of the promise of God. If the blood wasn't sprinkled over the lintel and over the doorposts, the avenger entered that house. The judgment upon sin. And when the Israelites looked back at that, they could see that they were delivered from that judgment. If they had not sprinkled the blood upon the doorposts, they likewise would have suffered that judgment. And when we come to the cross of Christ at Calvary, we come to our remembrance of what the Lord Jesus has done for us, we see there the penalty that the Lord Jesus took for our sin. We see that he died in our place. And had the Lord not died for us, we would suffer that penalty. We would suffer the judgment of God. We would suffer the just deserts for our sins. For an eternity, that judgment will fall upon us. And so as we come to remember our Lord's sacrifice, remember that he delivered us from judgment, delivered us from hell, delivered us from that just punishment that God should lay upon those who have sinned against him. That's something to remember, isn't it? We come to see the Lord and the sacrifice of our Lord. We see him crucified. We remember these things. And oh yes, we rejoice, don't we, that he's delivered us in my place. Condemned, he stood. And if we hadn't come to avail ourselves of the Lord Jesus and trusted in him and believed that he died in our place, then we still stand condemned. And like the Egyptians of old, the avenger will not pass by our household. We will stand there before God and receive the punishment we deserve. All these things are put so clearly for us to understand these things, and we're fools to close our eyes and our minds to these things and neglect these things. Here's the Lord saying, remember, remember, here's a memorial, here's a remembrance. Remember that Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, died to deliver us from the judgment of God. But of course the second aspect to that deliverance is that he also delivered us from the bondage of sin. We rejoice, don't we, that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he shed his blood, has washed away our sins. He's taken the penalty that we deserve. He's given us that full, free forgiveness for our sins as we come and repent. Notice what he's done. He's delivered us from its bondage. And that was something, of course, that the Israelites would remember. Part of that Passover meal, they were to have those bitter herbs. And that was a reminder to them of the bitterness of their bondage in Egypt. How they suffered in Egypt, the affliction that they suffered there. And the Lord delivered them from that. Their old lives completely forgotten, removed. So it is when we come to remember our Lord Jesus and his sacrifice. He's promised to deliver us from the bondage of sin. He's defeated sin. Taken away our penalty, but he's defeated sin and it doesn't have that hold over his people any longer. He's taken us from that kingdom of darkness into his kingdom. He is our Lord and Master now. No longer Satan and the works of darkness. Oh, we still sometimes sin, don't we? We know that battle that takes place. But here's the deliverance that's taken place. And we're to remember that. That the Lord it is delivered us from the judgment we deserve. It delivered us from the bondage of sin. No longer to be servants of sin, but servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, our great sacrifice. And of course these things are beautifully pictured for us, aren't they? In all the Old Testament pictures of the Passover, there was their deliverance from judgment, deliverance from bondage. And here, as we remember our great sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, delivered from the judgment of God, delivered from the bondage of sin. You know, sin has a terrible grip on people's hearts and lives. People become more and more hardened to the things of God as the more they live lives that are lives full of sin and rebellion. But the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with that. And you know, the Apostle Paul described himself as being the chief of sinners. And this great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, none are beyond his reach. All who come to him in faith can know that forgiveness of sins and the freedom from that bondage to sin as well. What a glorious thing our Lord has done. Well, these are things that we're to remember the sacrifice for. And daily we come to our times of worship, we come to the Lord's table, but daily we should remember these things. Remember our Lord's sacrifice, what is achieved for us. The praise should go to his name, the deliverance that has been accomplished. But then thirdly, it's a remembrance that looks forward. That might seem a strange thing to say, mightn't it? We have to remember what the Lord has achieved, but it's something that causes us to look forward as well to what the Lord is still doing and will yet do for his people. By remembering what the Lord did at Calvary, we remind ourselves that the Lord is doing a work in his people. He's perfecting us. He's preparing us. We are not yet those who are glorified and perfected in heaven, are we? We feel that. We sense our failure. We sense our sins. We sense them with the battle that goes on. But by looking and remembering the sacrifice of our Lord and its perfect nature, its complete nature, reminds us that the day is coming when we shall see him in glory. It's a reminder that the Lord will return again someday. Remember how he says that, doesn't he? At the institution of the Lord's table. This do in remembrance of me, he says. And he won't drink any more of it till he returns in his kingdom. The Apostle Paul said something similar, didn't he? He said, we're to do this till he come. You see, this is a remembrance that is also a looking forward. A looking forward to our Lord's return when he will gather together all his blood-bought children. All those who have come to faith and trust in him will be gathered together to be in his kingdom. This is a remembrance of what he's done, because he's doing a work still, and our salvation will be completed on that great day when we're raised gloriously into his presence. Well, these are things that we should rejoice in. These are things that should stir up our affection, our love for him. But they're also things that should stir us up in our desire to live holy lives, righteous lives, lives that are honouring to the Lord. See, he's rescued us from sin. He's delivered us from judgment. We remember those things. But for what purpose? To live as we wish? Just to rejoice that, well, we have a place in heaven now, and now I can enjoy life as I want? No. We've been bought. We remember his sacrifice, that here in his sacrifice, he gave his blood for us. He purchased us. He's bought us with a price. We belong to him. We're his. We're not our own. We're not Satan's. We've been rescued from his kingdom. But we're not here to serve ourselves either. We're here to serve the Lord. And we belong to him. And we should want to be those who live to his praise and glory. He's doing by his Spirit that work of sanctification in our lives as we go on through our experiences and our troubles and our struggles. We should be knowing the Lord moulding us and teaching us more of himself. We should be finding that we've become more patient, more trusting, more persevering, more loving of our Lord as he works and he sanctifies us, makes us more like his dear Son. And so we should see, as we remember the sacrifice of our Lord, remember that the Lord Jesus is the one who is there purposing that his people should one day be presented faultless before his presence. That's a glorious thing that he's doing. And so there's a great incentive to us as we remember our Lord's death and sacrifice. Oh, it brings us to praise his name, brings us to desire to proclaim it and to preach it, to tell others of it. It's their only hope of salvation. Calls us to rejoice at the deliverance. But oh, it causes us as well to have a renewed fervour and zeal to serve our Lord and to love him and to be like him. And to set aside the old man and the old ways and the ways of sin, and to be wholly, entirely, completely given to the Lord. When we talk about somebody coming to faith in Christ, it's not merely a mental assent. We mentioned this on Thursday. The heart's involved. We are given to the Lord, but rather, he's purchased us. We belong to him entirely. He doesn't want a part of us. He doesn't want a little bit of our lives and then the rest of our lives we can have to ourselves. He says, you belong to me. Your obedience, your service, your worship, your love, everything about the life of the believer should centre upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that we should remember the sacrifice of the Lord in all these aspects, that it might spur us on then in our daily devotion and our love for the Lord. So there were those three aspects I wanted us to consider then this morning as we think about the Lord's sacrifice as being a remembrance. But then finally, I want us to as well consider that this remembrance of our Lord's death will continue in eternity. This might seem an amazing thing to say that, because the Lord Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me until he comes." The Apostle Paul said, "We shall do that till he comes." Well, it's true. The emblems we shall no longer need when he comes. We shall no longer have that visible reminder of the memorial of our Lord's sacrifice in the supper. We shan't engage in that anymore. But oh, the remembrance of his sacrifice will most certainly continue. We shall never forget this. This that we're saying here is the theme of our worship and our praise and of our lives. It won't stop when we're in his presence in heaven. How do we know that? Well, remember our Lord Jesus when he met his disciples after his resurrection, and particularly when he met Thomas, showed them his hands, showed them his side, said, "Put your finger into the hole in my hands and thrust your hand into my side." The risen Lord Jesus still bears those wounds. The Lord Jesus now, in glory, still displays the wounds of that sacrifice that he made for his people. This won't be forgotten. This is what we've been saying as we've been remarking that the Lord has caused his people to come to a status far greater than angels, because we've been saved by the death of the Son of God, which angels haven't experienced, and we have, and we'll never forget that. And that will be displayed before us for eternity. And of course, when we turn to Revelation and we find some of those glimpses into heaven that John was given, and there are those occasions, numbers of occasions, if you read through Revelation, where those pictures of the Lord and the reminders of what the Lord has done. But in Revelation 5 and verse 6, here was John's vision of the glory. And notice what he said there, that he saw in the midst of the throne, Revelation 5 and verse 6, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. The Lamb of God. See, there he is. He's already said there, even there in heaven, is a reminder of the Lamb that was slain. The Son of God, who was slain for his people, won't be forgotten. How could such a theme as this be forgotten? We should not forget it here. We should remember it. He goes on as well. And notice what it is that those in heaven are singing. As some of their praises are recorded for us in Revelation, in verse 9 of chapter 5, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book." This is singing unto the Lamb. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. See, there's the theme of praise and of worship in heaven itself. The Lamb that was slain redeemed us by his blood. This that we seek to remember here upon earth, to rejoice in, to preach, to proclaim, to stir us up in our devotion, our desire to live for the Lord, this theme will never be forgotten. In eternity, we shall be always reminded of what this Lord Jesus has done for us. I wonder if this morning, what I can ask you, is this mean something to you now? If you're one of the Lord's people and you know and love the Lord Jesus, surely this is something that should be always upon your heart and always in your meditation. That's something you should always desire to see as you come to worship, come to the preaching of the Word of God. Something especially as we come to the Lord's table, we want to see the Lord Jesus, his sacrifice, what he accomplished, how he delivered us, how the praise goes to him, and be reminded one day he'll take us to be with him, and there we shan't need the emblems, but we shall still remember what he did. We shall see the Lamb of God, see those wounds in his hands. We shall sing that song of praise unto him, that he was worthy of all praise, because he offered himself for our sins. Well, let us be those who desire then to truly know this Lord Jesus, and to know that desire to live for him, and that desire and to give praise and glory to Him alone. Amen. Amen.